Well, we're finally here. What seemed like an eternity a year ago is now a reality. The days and weeks leading up to this moment seem to go by so fast, except maybe yesterday it seemed like an eternal day. But in preparation for this, some of us were so excited that we even packed a whole week before. But now we all share in that same joy. We all share in that same excitement. And now we are in the Holy Land, the mother of all pilgrimages. But now what? Now that we're here, what do? What makes this pilgrimage different from a religious tour, as Mary Jane had talked about? How do we enter into this most holy pilgrimage? In a way, we could stereotypically say that we are all on the pilgrimage of life. Some of us in this past year have experienced the joy of ordination, the changing of parishes or positions, the thrill of marriage, or the beauty of new life. At the same time, I know that some of us or those we love have experienced the pains of pain, the sorrows of loss, and the heartbreak of life. Although we face various circumstances in our life, and although we have come from many a pilgrimage and many a journey, all of our pilgrimages are converging upon this one point, right here, right now. So we need to recognize that our pilgrimage here is not by chance, as St. John Paul II writes. In the designs of providence, there is no such thing as coincidence. Recognize thou then that God has intentionally called you. He has intentionally called me. He's intentionally called all of us here from our individual pilgrimages of joy and pain to share in the one great pilgrimage of Christ. And this is His Annunciation to you. We know the story of St. Ignatius. We've heard of his life, how he was a soldier, and how he converted and had a change of heart in his faith. And guess where the first place he went to after he converted? He went to Jerusalem. But he wanted to go to Jerusalem in the most difficult way. He wanted to beg his whole way to Jerusalem, eating nothing but herbs and going barefoot the whole way. Thankfully, we didn't have to do that. But one of the most interesting things about his journey was that when he went to the Mount of Olives, he saw a stone that was believed to have borne the footprints of Jesus before he ascended into heaven. However, he didn't just look at the stone and say, "Oh, cool." He imagined how Jesus stepped on it, how he ascended from it, what angle, what movement. And why did he do this? He did this because he was trying to imagine how Jesus walked in this land. He was literally trying to relive the footsteps of Jesus, because he was joining his pilgrimage with the one great pilgrimage of the God-man who walked through these very streets. He was entering and participating in the mysteries of Christ, and not just as a tourist. See, I think that's the invitation God is making for us today. I think they gave a great explanation today of how to enter this pilgrimage. And we want our pilgrimage to be more than just pictures. We want it to be a presence within our heart. And we're just a few yards away from the place where the angel Gabriel announced the plan of God to Mary. And he's asking each of us today, as he did to Mary, will you unite the pilgrimage of your life with that of my son? Will you unite the mystery of your life with the mysteries of his pilgrimage? And our readings today give us two ways in which we can respond to this invitation. And so we hear in our first reading the story of King Ahaz, who was the king of Jerusalem, who had just found out that he was going to be attacked by the northern kingdom of Israel in Syria. And he and the people were so afraid that it says in the scriptures, their hearts shook as the trees of the forest shake in the wind. King Ahaz and the people of Jerusalem were terrified, and so they were tempted to turn to any other means to defend themselves, even just to survive. They were even tempted to turn to their mortal enemy, Assyria, even though Assyria had previously tried to attack them. And so to put this in modern terms, King Ahaz would be kind of like Mayor Nahid Nenshi, fearing the alliance between Red Deer and Airdrie, and in an act of desperation, he actually turned to look for help from Edmonton. So then the Lord asked the prophet Isaiah to speak to the king Ahaz to reassure him that God will take care of him. Take heed. Be quiet. Do not fear. And do not let your heart be faint. It shall not stand. It shall not come to pass. But then he says this. But if you do not stand firm in faith, you will not stand at all. Knowing the hesitation that was in his heart, the prophet tried to reassure him. I know this can be hard for you to believe, but I'll prove it to you. Ask for a sign from the Lord, whether it be as deep as a netherworld or as high as the sky, and it will show you that God is faithful. But what does King Ahaz do? He refuses even to ask for a sign out of false humility. And he makes an alliance with the mortal enemy, Assyria. Rather than trusting in the divine providence of the Lord, he relied on the human politics of the time. Because being in control seemed easier than abandoning oneself into the arms of the Father. So yes, temporarily, Jerusalem survived. But less than 200 years later, it would fall to Babylon. If we do not stand firm in faith, we will not stand at all. Therefore, the Lord was inviting King Ahaz, and he's inviting us. Will you allow your pilgrimage to be united with that of my son, the one born of the virgin, the one whose name is Emmanuel? And I know your pilgrimage looks like it's going to be tough, but my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And despite the rejection of God's offer, he remains faithful. He still makes the offer to humanity, but this time he does not turn to the king. He turns to the future king's mother. And he turns to Mary and he says, "Will you bear the Son of God? Will you bear the one whom nations long for? The one whom the prophets foretold, the one who's to redeem the world." And she responds, "Let it be done unto me according to your will. I will allow my pilgrimage to be united with that of my son, so that the mysteries of his life may be intertwined with mine." So Mary offers us another way to respond to his question. Choosing to allow the mysteries of Christ to be born in us so that it takes flesh in us. One of the church fathers, St. John Eudes, makes this really interesting statement. He says, "The mysteries of Jesus are not yet completely perfected and fulfilled. That sounds crazy at first. Like, that's the Son of God. What? How can he say that? He says, yes, they are complete indeed in the person of Jesus, but not in us who are his body. And therefore, brothers and sisters, I invite you not just to be tourists, not to participate in this journey externally. Enter into the sanctuary of your heart. Open your heart to receive the grace He wants to give to you. Yesterday when we were at Mount Carmel, and we were out just outside getting ready to go into the cave, and I didn't think too much about it, but as she mentioned, this is the cave where Elijah experienced God. I could hear a voice in my heart saying, I want to hear that still small voice. And this desire welling up within me. And then going inside to Mount Carmel, I was there. And you can, it's amazing because you can see the cave. And I just imagined myself like Elijah, sitting at the cave, looking out into the distance, seeing the wind and the earthquake crashing. But then hearing sheer silence. And in that, he heard the voice of God. And for me, this wasn't something that just happened 2,700 years ago. I was there, and I heard his voice. The Annunciation of Gabriel happened 2,000 years ago, but it's now happening to us here. Let the mystery of Christ soak into your heart until your life becomes one with Christ. Not only can the mysteries of his earthly pilgrimage encompass the mysteries of our life, but they can also transform our lives if we allow it. If we allow our joys to be united with his. If we allow our sufferings and our sorrows to be united with his. So let us stand firm in faith, or else we will not stand at all. Let us stand firm in the mysteries of Christ rather than watch from the outside. If we unite our pilgrimage with his and walk the paths he trod in the innermost depths of our heart, then we will find that we will also share in that one great pilgrimage of the God-man who passed from this world to the Father, who passed from death to life. And that invitation is open for us.